All right, now we turn to our committee reports. And due to unforeseen circumstances, the ABFF committee was not able to meet during this cycle. And next, I would like to ask Trustee King to report as chair of the University Healthcare Systems Committee on the recent meeting. Trustee King.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The University Healthcare System Committee met yesterday at 12:30 p.m. Joining me at the meeting were Trustees Cepeda, Estrada, McMillan, Panic, and Smart. The meeting began with a brief executive session. Once the open session began, Dr. Robert Barish provided introductory remarks. He shared that the proposed health surgery center and clinics have received much positive attention from people all around the country, and he also provided information regarding the Mile Square Health Clinic. The committee approved the minutes of the last meeting that was held on November 13, 2019. The committee then reviewed and recommended agenda item 22, which involves changes to the Advanced Nursing Excellent bylaws. I'd like to compliment Dr. Rosenblatt and his team for collaborating with the nursing staff on that. Thank you, Dean Rosenblatt over there. Mr. Michaels then began the CEO report with an overview of the financial activity and performance of the hospital and clinics during fiscal year 2019. He emphasized that the financial performance for the year has been strong. Mr. Zinn then provided an update on the EPIC implementation project. Changes in staffing for quality and safety were announced, as were key safety infrastructure initiatives that will be helpful to improve quality and safety moving forward. Mr. Zinn completed his report with an update on the strategic planning process. Finally, the committee received the Chief Medical Officer report from Dr. Terry Vandenhoek. He discussed goals and initiatives that are being implemented in order to increase medical staff engagement, improve teamwork, and increase wellness as well as resiliency. There was no old business discussed. Under new business, I noted that there were three reports that were included in the packet and asked if there were any questions regarding them. And Dr. Barish shared that there are plans to add an ambulatory dental surgery center, that in April they hope to open a robotic surgery center as well. The next meeting of the healthcare committee is scheduled for March 11th at 12:30 p.m. in Urbana, Illinois.
Any questions for Trustee King on the UHS committee meeting?
Just a quick comment.
Yes.
So for a person that's been paying attention for the last 9 years or so to the hospital and health system, it's just heartening to see the level of partnership that the leaders of the system are demonstrating every day, and it's demonstrated to the improvement and the financial success that we're having at the hospital and the system. So I just want to say thank you. Congratulations to all of them.
Great.
Thank you for your comments. They work very hard.
Okay. Thank you, Trustee King. Trustee Rick Estrada, Chair of the Governance, Personnel, and Ethics Committee.
Chairman, the Governance, Personnel, and Ethics Committee met yesterday here in Chicago. I attended the meeting with Trustees Dale, Holmes, McMillan, Smart, and Panic, who are members of the committee. Trustee Cepeda, Edwards, King were also in attendance. The committee approved the minutes of the last meeting that was held on November 13, 2019. The committee then reviewed items 3, 4, and 5 on today's agenda and forwards those items for consideration by the board. Because the Audit, Budget, Finance, and Facilities Committee was not able to meet, the committee also reviewed item number 23, approved project budget and award construction contracts for renovation of the Townsend Hall and the Wardell Hall, Illinois Street Residence Halls in Urbana. Dr. Avijit Ghosh gave the committee background on the project and explained its history. Mr. Cepeda, who chairs the Audit, Budget, Finance, and Facilities Committee, President Colleen, and Chancellor Jones also commented on the bids received for this project and agreed the current outcome is positive. The discussion followed regarding the process of establishing a project budget and an enhanced process that will result in more accurate project budgeting moving forward. Ms. Jamie Painter, who is the Associate Vice President and Chief Human Resource Officer, gave an annual report on the policy and background checks. She presented data regarding the background checks and showed that the policy has not had an adverse impact on timely recruitment and has successfully mitigated risks to the university. The committee then heard a thorough legislative update from Ms. Jennifer Creasy, who's our Senior Director of State Relations, and Ms. Melissa Haas, who is the Associate Director of Federal Relations. Ms. Creasy said that in 2019, advocacy efforts increased due in part to the expansion of the Illinois Connection Program, which has grown to over 21,000 members. Again, 21,000 members. She listed a series of events and other advocacy work that helped garner support for the university and its initiatives throughout the state. She described goals for 2020, which include advocating for the fiscal year 2021 budget request and regulatory reforms, and continuing to create partnerships throughout the state. She listed several events taking place in February and introduced Teresa Thomas, a UIC alumna, who will be the is a new staff and will be serving as a visiting advocacy coordinator. Ms. Haas gave an overview of events and outcomes of recent legislation. She identified priorities for 2020, which included the reauthorization of the Higher Education Act and a hearing on the future of DACA. She listed upcoming Illinois delegation plans and highlighted upcoming visits to UIC. There was no new business or old business. The next meeting of the committee is scheduled for March 11, 2020 at 2 p.m. in Urbana.
Any questions for Trustee Estrada on the GP materials? Not? Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. Next, I'd like to ask for a report from Jill Smart, the chair of the Academic and Student Affairs Committee. Trustee Smart.
Thank you. The Academic and Student Affairs Committee met yesterday as well. Joining me at the meeting were Trustees Dale, Estrada, Jacobson, McMillan, and Panic, and Trustees Edwards and King joined the meeting as guests. The committee first approved the minutes of the last meeting, which was on November 13th, and then we reviewed agenda items 5 through 21, which included the standard appointments item, tuition fees and housing, appointing an interim dean for the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences in Springfield, an academic item for Springfield, the awarding of honorary degrees in Urbana, appointing associates and fellows to the Center for Advanced Study, and 4 academic items for Urbana and 4 academic items for Chicago. As part of the discussion yesterday on tuition fees and housing items, Executive Vice President Barb Wilson provided a very thorough presentation about our efforts to ensure student access and affordability, our growing student to faculty ratios, our need to bolster faculty salary levels relative to our peers, and mounting inflationary costs during our five-year tuition freeze, I'll just say that twice. She also provided benchmark information about an undergraduate tuition levels at peer institutions, and we had a very robust discussion following the presentation regarding the tension between controlling costs for Illinois families on one hand and seeking resources to ensure academic excellence at our universities on the other hand. The trustees agreed that our universities must continue to seek ways to continue administrative costs and pursue efficiencies. And I just want to make a side note that we spent a lot of time on this issue. The trustees are very, very engaged, and I feel very responsible for ensuring that we keep tuition as affordable as possible. It was not just any kind of rubber stamp discussion. There were a lot of very intense questions that we answered amongst ourselves and talked about. We take our responsibility to ensure that we can provide an affordable academic excellent program here for the students, not just for the state of Illinois, but of course primarily for people in the state of Illinois. I just want to make sure that we recognize that having this guaranteed four-year tuition at the same rate for all 4 years is highly unusual and, of course, is good for our families, but can also provide challenges. We had, after that, there was no old or new business, and then our next meeting is also March 11th. And I believe Barb, correct me if I'm wrong, is going to share with the group what she shared with us yesterday.
So just to be clear, Executive Vice President and Vice President for Academic Affairs, Barb Wilson, is going to make a presentation on tuition fees and housing.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Edwards and Chair of ASAC as well, Jill Smart. I promise I have fewer slides today than I had yesterday. So I welcome all of you to visit your board pack if you want more information. But it is our tradition to present a shorter amount of slides at the full meeting and to just give a brief overview. And I actually have a couple of slides that I didn't show yesterday that I've saved for this meeting as well. So I'll try to be as brief as possible because I'm sure there may be some continued discussion afterward. Again, we do this every January to provide an overview of all the work that goes behind our deliberations and very intensive discussions at all three universities about cost control and about tuition. Reminding again, and I think Jill, you did a nice job, so thank you about this, but just reminding you all that we have a very, very strong commitment across the U of I system to provide access for Illinois students, to keep education affordable, and of course to ensure quality and competitiveness. Yesterday, I gave you a lot of information about our growing enrollments, our commitment to Illinois residents relative to our peers. All three of our universities are doing great in that regard. Our increasing financial aid. We've increased financial aid about 123% over the last 10 years, which is difficult to even fathom, but we've done that, and we've done it during a five-year tuition freeze. So we've done a lot of work. And our enrollments continue to grow, which is really exciting, but we have not always kept up on the faculty side. So that's a little bit of a preview. But let me give you some real quick data on our current tuition compared to peers. For those of you who weren't here yesterday during ASAC, you know we always benchmark our tuition and pay careful attention to our peer groups. This is Urbana's peer groups plus the Big Ten. And what you can see here is that with the tuition freeze, Urbana is now fourth among all of these peer groups. It used to be third last year, so we're continuing to see others surpass and creep up with Urbana. In several years ago, five to more years ago, Urbana was second, and the next ranked institution was almost $2,000 away. And now all those peer groups around are much closer. In fact, University of Minnesota is $95 away only from Urbana, and MSU is $600, Berkeley's $800. So the peer groups are catching up to where Urbana is. And I'll also say that we know several of these institutions are going to increase. We don't know all of them. Most of our peers don't announce their tuition this early, but we already know that the University of Texas will increase its tuition 2.6%. Iowa will be at least 3%, depending on what the state does, probably 3% plus inflation, so it could be as much as 5%. So that's where we are at Urbana. Moving on to Chicago, you can see that Chicago is currently third among its its BOT peer groups. And it has moved from, it was first. So by holding our tuition constant for 5 years, others have crept up and moved beyond us. And again, the gap between UIC and others is shrinking. We already know that University of Connecticut, which is already the most expensive of the peer groups, is increasing its tuition next year by 4.4%. We don't know about the others, but we expect those to be increased as well. And then Springfield here, you see Springfield with its peers, and it is now third among its peer groups. When we started the freeze, it was number one. And so others are catching up, and the gap is closing here as well. 5 years ago, the gap was $1,500 to the next lowest, and now it's $600 and $700 at Clarion and Framington. We also know that several of these institutions will increase this year. Texas, University of Texas at Tyler has already announced a 2.6% increase. So just to remind you all, we've mentioned our goals about access and affordability while sustaining excellence. I just want to say a few other things. We've shown you over and over again that we've had multi-year decreases in our level of state appropriation, even though this year we received a 4.5% increase, 4.6%. We're still well below where we were in 2015 and 2017 levels of funding if you take into account inflation. And we've also seen inflationary costs go up. I presented data yesterday to show you what HEPI has done and what the CPI, Consumer Price Index, has done. Cumulatively, we've got between 9 and 13% increases during the five-year freeze. our costs are going up, and we've kept student affordability flat and frozen. The bottom line is we need to hire more tenure system faculty. You've seen the data on ratios, and I think President Killeen's great presentation underscores how important our faculty are, how they are the backbone of everything we do, not only in the classroom, but in the labs and in the studios, and the work that they do with our undergrads and our graduate students. These students are getting amazing experiences from incredible faculty. Our salaries have fallen behind during the freeze, so this again is part of what we're trying to rebuild here as we encourage our faculty to do the exceptional work they do. I also want to just provide two slides about financial aid that I think gives you a sense, I hope, a commitment to financial aid. There's a lot of numbers on this next slide, and if you can't see them very well, I'll just try to walk you through this. But this is just for Urbana, and I have a slide for Chicago as well. Gives you a sense of what's happening as a result of financial aid. So on the top line, you see that the total base rate, and this is a five-year comparison, so 2014 and 2019, you can see on the top line that base tuition and fees is almost the same. Fees have gone up a little, but tuition has stayed flat, so there's a little bit of an increase over the 5 years because of fees. And then we include the cost of housing and other things in here. So just so you know, we're always looking not just at tuition and fees, but what is the total cost to students. And again, during these 5 years, there's a modest increase, mostly because of some increase in housing and fees. And then when students fill out the FAFSA, they get information back saying, what's your expected family contribution? And this, by the way, I should just say, this is, let's take a typical or a student comes from a family of four, with family income of 60K. So that's what we're benchmarking here. And this is the only student in college. When the FAFSA comes back, the student will be told they get Pell Grant and MAP Grant, and you can see that both of those have increased over time. But more importantly, institutional aid, which is our own funding, our internal sources of funding, have increased significantly from 4,000, it looks like a drop, but it's 4,000 to 3,000, but then look at Illinois Commitment, which is also our institutional funds, and the total aid from internal sources has gone up significantly from about 4,300 to, 8,000. So it's almost doubled for this prototypical student. In the end, the student's getting $9,000 5 years ago, $16,000 this year. The student will also be eligible for some work, study, and loan. So in the end, the total financial aid that this prototypical student will be offered is $20,000 5 years ago, $24,000 currently, and the cost not covered is actually less today than it was 5 years ago. Illinois Commitment is a big part of this at Urbana, but I just want to underscore that that's not the only way you get financial aid. And if right now Illinois Commitment promises families of under 60, at 61K or below, full coverage of tuition and fees, but it's not like if you make a little more of that, you get nothing. So families that get more, their needs and contributions will be adjusted accordingly. But I think this is a very impressive set of statistics that shows that with increasing financial aid, we're seeing the cost to students for families like this actually going down over time. Now, a quick example from UIC. What happens here? I asked Michael for great statistics, and he just came back and said, look, nearly 4 in 10 of our students are paying less than $2,000 a year in tuition and fees. So their out-of-pocket expenses are roughly less than $2,000, and really stunningly, 21% are paying nothing. They're fully being covered by various sources of financial aid and state and federal aid as well. So, and this has stayed steady for the 5 years during the freeze. So I want to give you a sense of what the real costs are to students. The previous example was for an Illinois family, a student, a resident, but because so many of the students at UIC are residents, this really covers the majority of students. Okay? All right, let me go on to proposed tuition. Welcome, all of you. Thank you. Everybody's looking at you, so I got to look at you too. Welcome. Okay. Proposed tuition for 2021, we are for the first time in 5 years proposing a modest, I would say very modest and sub-inflationary increase in in-state undergraduate tuition. You can see the figures here. Urbana's proposing 1.8, Chicago 1.8, and Springfield 1.0. And the dollar amounts associated with that, for Urbana it's $218 per year, for UIC it's $192, and for UIS it's $97. Again, these dollars will not completely cover all of our ambitious goals regarding faculty hiring, but they will help us greatly, and they will help us cover compensationary increases in costs for faculty and staff. Okay. Student fees. We remind you that student fees go through lots of vigorous processing and oversight, and we have students at all three universities looking carefully at fees. I gave a lot of breakdowns yesterday, so this is just a very brief summary. UIC is proposing a UIUC is proposing a 2.46% increase in fees, which amounts to $76. A lot of this is due to the increase in minimum wage in the state, because a lot of our students are employed in these student affairs jobs that get covered by these fees. It's also, the increase will also go toward increasing coverage in the counseling center at UIUC. For UIC, most of the increase is 0.97% or $32 for the year. Most of this will go toward a modest increase in the library IT fee, which has remained flat for 2 years, and some help in the counseling centers as well, or in counseling center. And Springfield is holding their fees flat. Last but not least, room and board rates for undergraduate housing. Again, a modest increase here across the two big universities, and UIS is holding theirs flat. These, again, costs reflect challenges that we need to keep these residence halls up to speed and in good shape, especially at Urbana with the Illinois Street Residence remodeling going on. So I think that is the end of my slides, and I'm happy to entertain questions or comments or talk about the slides from yesterday if anybody wants to revisit them. Thank you.
Any questions for Barb? Okay, thanks, Barb.